Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles. We're going to start over chapter 1. 2 Chronicles, chapter 1. Now Solomon, the son of David, established himself securely over his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and exalted him greatly. And Solomon spoke to all Israel, to the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges, and to every leader in all Israel, the heads of the fathers' households. Then Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high place, which was at Gibeon. For God's tent of meeting was there, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. However, David had brought up the ark of God from Kiriath-Jearim to the place he had prepared for it, for he had pitched the tent for it in Jerusalem. Now the bronze altar which Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made was there before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the assembly sought it out. And Solomon went up there before the Lord to the bronze altar, which was at the tent of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. In that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said to God, "Thou hast dealt with my father David with great loving kindness, and hast made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, thy promise to my father David is fulfilled, for thou hast made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can rule this great people of thine?" And God said to Solomon, "Because you had this in mind, and did not ask for riches, wealth, or honor, or the life of those who hate you, nor have you even asked for long life, but you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge, that you may rule my people over whom I made you king. Wisdom and knowledge you have been granted to you. And I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings who were before you has possessed, nor those who will come after you." So Solomon went from the high place, which is at Gibeon, from the tent of meeting to Jerusalem, and he reigned over Israel. And Solomon amassed chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen. He stationed them in the chariot cities and with the king of Jerusalem. And the king made silver and gold as plentiful in Jerusalem as stones. And he made cedars as plentiful as sycamores in the lowland. And Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt and from Kew. And the king's traders procured them from Kew for a price. And they imported chariots from Egypt for 600 shekels of silver apiece, and horses for 150 apiece. And by the same means, they exported them to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Aram. Amen. So as we start the second book of Chronicles, remember when we ended the first book of Chronicles, David died. And so now Ezra is putting together a whole new dispensation. And so we're learning about Solomon, and this is pretty much a summary statement of the beginning of Solomon's kingship and what God does through him. So he starts off, and you'll notice that the first thing, and if you read it really quickly, you'll probably miss it, but he goes and he makes sure that there is offerings being done, and this was very common with kings as they come into office. It was Thanksgiving. It was a proper ritual during this time. But he goes, and he precisely goes to Gibeon instead of where the Ark of the Covenant is. And so Solomon, with such a good heart, he wants to do it right. And that's his heart by which this particular worship time, that's where it's at. Gibeon was the place where the tabernacle was. This was the place where Moses had the tent of meeting. This is where all the sacrifices were taking place here at this particular high place. And you could see right from the outset where Solomon's at. And Solomon's heart is just to do it right. In the beginning of it all, it would have been much more expedient. It would have been much more convenient for him to do it in Jerusalem, because that's where he lived. Much easier. All his officers, all the court, everyone was there. But he wanted to do it the right way and honor God in the beginning of his ministry. And he went to Gibeon first, which was first of all, remember, it's a high place, and so there's a lot of hiking going up to reach this place. And it's a bit out of the way compared to where everyone else was, but his heart was to do it right. And brothers and sisters, I think this is a great, great example for us, that when we're following God and we're worshiping God and we're serving God, the key for us is to do it right. It's so easy a lot of times to take a more convenient path. It's a lot more expedient. It's quicker. It's easier. But there's something about just doing it right, which will require a lot of times a greater cost. It will require a sacrifice. It required the whole kingdom a level of sacrifice to go to Gibeon. But his heart was to do it right. And so what did God do? God blessed him as a result. So he goes to Gibeon. He could have very easily followed his father David, because, you know, David's heart, remember, he wanted to establish a home for God. That was his heart. That's the whole point of bringing the ark into Jerusalem. But it wasn't time yet. And so Solomon, being aware of this, did what all of his fathers did before and made sure that the sacrifices happened at Gibeon, just like Moses and Samuel and so on and so forth. And as a result, God really blesses him. So much so that after the offering, remember, 1,000 burnt offerings were on this. So it was a huge, huge event that's taking place here. And then in that night, God appears to Solomon. And so either in a dream or in a theophany, in other words, Christ appears to him. Or we don't really know how this happens, but he has this conversation, maybe he has a vision, has this conversation with God. And God asks, and this could very well be one of the most amazing questions in all of the Bible. Verse 7 says, "Ask what I shall give you." How would you respond if the Lord came up to you and said, "Ask what I shall give you"? In other words, I can give you anything. What do you want? Let's pause for a moment. Let's put ourselves in Solomon's shoes. What would you ask for? Would you ask for long life? Would you ask for the most amazing healing gift? Would you ask for wealth? Would you ask for a husband or a wife? Would you ask for the success of your children? I mean, let's all pause. Like, initially, I've been talking so long, you're thinking about it for a while. But if God came to you and said, "What can I do for you?" or "Ask, and it shall be given to you," how would you respond? And Solomon was given this honor. How did he respond? Obviously, this is written in 1 Kings already. How does he respond? He says, "Lord, I want wisdom. Give me wisdom so I can be a good king. Give me wisdom so that I can rule your people that you have given to me." In other words, you put me in this position. Lord, help me to operate in wisdom so I could be a good king. And that answer so pleased God. And he's like, God's kind of rattling off. He's like, man, you didn't ask for anything for yourself. You didn't ask for the heads of your enemies. You didn't ask for wealth, riches, honor, long life. In other words, you are selfless. This had nothing to do with you. And instead, you asked to lead the people that I've given to you. And so God, because remember, our God is a generous God. And he said, this is what he says. He says, "All right, wisdom, discernment, you got it, man. It's yours. And on top of that, I'm going to give you riches and honor and wealth. No king before you, no king after you has received this." And then the latter part, dealing with verse 14 and down, when it talks about all these horses and things, this time, a king's wealth or the majesty of an empire was a lot of times dictated by how many horses that you have. I know it's kind of really different. These days, it's how many commas that you have in your bank account, right? How many zeros after. But in this time, the wealth of your nation or your empire was horses. And so you give an idea of how wealthy Solomon became. But I want to go back to the middle part here, his prayer for wisdom. He said, Lord, I just want to be a good ruler. I mean, that's basically his whole thing. And not for himself, but so he can govern God's people. He understood how important it was for him to be wise, because he wasn't just governing any people. He was governing God's people. And so he said, Lord, I just want this wisdom. It reminds me of, this whole scenario actually reminds me of a passage in Matthew chapter 6. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you or given unto you as well. And this is always God's MO. You become selfless, you seek God first, and then God will begin to seek you out. I heard this commentator years ago say this. He says, when we seek God first, the things that we want and desire will begin to seek us out. Like you won't have to look after it. You make sure you put God first in your life, and then everything will just flow from that place. And what a great example that we see here in Solomon. Solomon sought God first. He sought the success of God's people first. It had nothing to do with him. And as a result, God just overwhelmed him with so much more than what he can even ask for. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. See, in the world, being selfless, seeking other people's benefit first, those type of things are looked upon as weaknesses. They looked upon as some kind of character flaws or some leadership dysfunction that you may have. But in the kingdom of God, we operate out of a total different economy. And in that simple reality is when we put others first, when we deny ourselves and we pick up our cross and we follow after him, then, man, there is such a resource of blessing and favor and just the goodness and kindness of God that just absolutely overflows. And you get so much more than what you even asked for. And this has always been the way God has moved in people's lives. Brothers and sisters, what a great way to start this new season as we get into this book of Chronicles. If we endeavor to put God first, and God is interested in all those other things that you want, success for your kids, man, God is interested in that. Long life, God is interested in that. All kinds of things that we're asking for, health, the gifts of the Spirit to help others, all those things are God wants too. But when we're able to put him first and deny ourselves in those ways, God will overwhelm us with his blessings. That's always been how he's operated. And we see this happening here in the life of Solomon. Amen? So let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. And maybe even just dialogue with him. When I ask that question, what would you ask for? Just talk to God about it. Maybe you are like Solomon and you are so selfless in your asking. Maybe your asking was a little self-centered. Just dialogue with him. Us being selfless, denying ourselves, seeking God first, seeking the benefit of others, you'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong. And it'll be loaded with blessings overflowing. And so this morning as we sing and as we pray, let's endeavor to put Christ first. If you're struggling with control about your work, put Christ first. If maybe relationships are first in your priority list, put Christ first instead. Just watch him bless your relationships. whatever we have in front of Jesus, let's go back to the proper order and put Him first. And let everything flow from that place. Let's use the language of this song, and let's just start dethroning those things that have become first in our life. It could be your job, it could be your family, it could be your wealth. Maybe you put first your intellect or your powers. It could be a relationship. Whatever it is, let's dethrone those things, and let's put Christ on His rightful throne as first over our lives. And let's just have that dialogue with the Lord right now. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer, going through therapies. You know, lift up a special prayer for Calvin. He's running a high fever again. Let's pray that the fever would go down. Well, let's lift up. Pray for our community dealing with illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that's looking for work. And let's pray for God's open door and for His provision during this season. Pray for our government today. Huh? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to breathe life into our city. Let's pray for just against the wealth gap. Let's lift up our voices for revival. Let's lift up churches all over the city. Let's pray for our friends and ministries here, sports services, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice. Pray for Korean Church. Also lift up the Hong Kong students that are under so much stress and domestic helpers and families in distress and their children. Let's lift up the city. Let's lift up our staff. Let's ask God to give us a tremendous amount of wisdom, strength, anointing. Pray that for our health and the health of our families, our spouses, and our children, and that we would be focused to serve God and serve this church with all of our heart. Let's lift up. Let's cover our hospitality ministries, our welcoming, and our barista. Let's pray for our leaders, pray for our volunteers, and pray the Holy Spirit would really use each of these people to welcome our guests as well as our members, and that would come into a very warm environment where they can freely worship the Lord. Let's pray for these ministries. Lift up our worship and sound and AV teams. So let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers and all of our worship leaders that they would really offer not just excellence but a real deep heart of worship, that their worship and their gifts would be used, that's used privately would be publicly a blessing for all of this body. Let's pray. Let's pray for our beginner guitar class in the SPLI. Let's pray for Pastor Nate and all the participants that they would really grow in their skill and really so that would really help them to worship the Lord better. Let's lift up. Lord, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for the reminder, Lord, of just of Solomon just wanting to do it right, Lord. Let us have that kind of heart as well, Lord. And also that heart to put you first, God, to put other people first before ourselves, Lord. God, out of that place, a tremendous amount of blessing and anointing flows, God. So teach us, Lord, even today, God. And if there's anything, God, that is usurping your place as king over our life, God, we dethrone those things, Lord. We place you in that rightful place as first and foremost, God, our first love. And so we thank you, God. We love you, Lord. Watch over us today, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.